Vision could refer to something perceived in a dreamlike state. Like the Old Testament prophets sometimes receive revelations from God. That's not God's normal sense of communicating with us today. Since the Word has been completed, we have the written Word. So we don't have necessarily God speaking to us through visions. That's not basically what the young people were singing about. There were some songs about that, but it looked forward to another vision. Because the word vision can also refer to a mental image. The ability to perceive something in our imagination that's not actually visible through keen discernment and foresight. That's what the young people were singing about tonight. Something we see in our minds that's not visible to our naked eye, but we see it through keen discernment and foresight. We see what it can be and what it ought to be. What's your vision for your life? That's the question I want you to answer tonight. It would be like closing your eyes. Maybe you ought to do that. Now close your eyes and picture how you see yourself in the days and years to come. Now, what do you see? You see yourself driving a Porsche, or sailing your own yacht, or flying your own airplane, or traveling around the world, or having a beautiful woman or a handsome man at your side, or leafing through an immense portfolio of stocks and bonds, or relaxing by the pool in a carefree retirement. What do you see? What's your vision? Your vision will determine how you spend your time and how you invest your energies. The kids were singing about a little different vision than what I just described. And they were hoping that we would catch it. What should our vision be as believers in Jesus Christ? What should we see when we close our eyes and visualize ourselves in days and years to come? I'd like to suggest some things that ought to be part of your vision and my vision as believers in Jesus Christ, as children of God. What we should visualize when we look into our own future by God's grace. For one thing, it would be good as a part of our vision to include knowing Jesus Christ better. That was Paul's vision. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, passage of scripture we're all well familiar with. He said, that I may know him. That's his vision for himself. Knowing Christ better. Know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to a resurrection out from among the dead. He wasn't satisfied with a casual acquaintance with Jesus Christ. He wanted to know him. He visualized himself as knowing the Savior intimately, as exploring the depths of his character and the beauties and glories of his being, of finding out how he thinks and what he feels and what he wants, what pleases him and what displeases him. That was his vision, knowing Jesus Christ. He knew that a lifetime of fellowship with Christ would only scratch the surface of really knowing him. So he wasn't going to waste any time. He got right to it. He was spending time with his Lord, searching the Old Testament scriptures where he was predicted. He was getting to know his Savior. Knowing him was the goal of Paul's life. It was his vision. One day somebody asked me, "Do you know Billy Graham?" I said, "Well, yes, you know, I met him. Shook hands with him once. I can tell you the time and the place. It was on the platform at the Graham Crusade in San Diego, right about second base, you know. Now that's where I met him. Well, can you tell me something about him?" "Well, I really can't tell you a whole lot about what goes on inside of him and how he thinks and what he feels, because I guess I really don't know him very well. I mean, I shook hands with him. It took about 3 seconds, as I recall, standing there on the platform, and then he was on to the next person, you know. So I don't really know him." But some of us claim to know Christ. We can tell you the time and place where we met him as our Savior from sin. But if someone were to say to us, "Tell me something about him," some of us would be all talked out in about a minute and a half. See, if our vision were like Paul's, we'd be spending time in his Word, poring over the scriptures, getting to know him, spending time with him in prayer, Getting to know Christ intimately. Is that your vision? When you close your eyes and visualize your future, do you see yourself knowing Jesus Christ better? There's a second part of the vision of a child of God. Not just knowing Him, but becoming more like Him. And this grows out of the first one. See, the more intimately you know somebody, the more like them you normally become. It's incredible. Mary and I have been married 34 years now. And it's amazing how we're beginning to think alike. You know, in fact, it's not only amazing, it's downright scary at times, you know. One of us will start to talk and the other will say, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking at that very instant. It's like we read each other's minds and take the words right out of each other's mouths, you know. And this is even scarier. Our personalities are becoming more similar than they used to be, you know. Some of her outgoing character has rubbed off on me, and some of my quietness has rubbed off on her. People don't always see that, but it really is happening, you know. I won't tell you which side they don't see the most, but it's happening. But I'll tell you what we both need to do more often. We both need to close our eyes and picture ourselves more like Jesus. Growing in His likeness, reflecting more of His attitudes and more of His character, His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, His self-control. How would we be acting right now if we were like our Savior? And again, that was part of Paul's vision. He told that to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 13. This was the goal of his life. It was his vision. Till we all come, he says, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature person, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where he wanted to come. That was his vision. He said it again in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. I want to be like Jesus, Paul said. And that, I'm convinced, is the primary aim of the Christian's life, as described in the New Testament. I think I've shared this with you before, but it's worth repeating again. Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, who was the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary, used to say to his students, and he died 2 years before I became a student at Dallas, and I missed that blessing. But others would report it to me. He used to say to his students, the Lord, or God, was so delighted and pleased with His Son that He purposed to make many more just like Him. You see, that's what Jesus, or that's what God's about in the world today, in our lives as believers. He wants to make us like His Son. That is our ultimate goal, according to Romans chapter 8. We read it this morning. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. We're all going to be there someday. Meanwhile, God wants us to be growing day by day to be more like Jesus. That was Paul's vision. Is it our vision? If we would catch that vision, it would revolutionize our lives, dear friends. It would revolutionize our marriages. It would revolutionize our other relationships in life. Let's make it part of our vision. To know Him more intimately and become more like Him. There's a third part of a believer's vision that I think is really important. And that is not only knowing Him and becoming like Him, but sharing Him with others. There are a number of key verses that we could turn to for this one, but let's allow the Lord Jesus to articulate it Himself, shall we? It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that very familiar commission He left right before He ascended into heaven's glory. But you shall receive power, He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, the ends of the earth. If I were to admit to you tonight what I consider to be the weakest link in my Christian experience, it would probably be the lack of boldness in my witness for Jesus Christ. As I think through my life, there are other weak spots, other soft spots that need to be worked on. But I would say this is the thing I need the most. I can tell you quite frankly that it's easy for me to share Jesus Christ with anybody, absolutely anybody who wants to hear. But I find it very difficult, probably because of my personality. That's no excuse, but that's probably the reason. To begin a conversation and skillfully move that conversation to the point where I can witness concerning the person of Jesus Christ. That's not easy for me to do. I do it sometimes, but it doesn't come naturally to me. I don't have what some people call the gift of gab and just able to, you know, start conversations and carry them on easily and guide them to that point. But I'll tell you what sometimes makes it easier for me. And that's catching the vision to witness. Catching the vision. And I think a lot about it and I pray a lot about it. It's visualizing how I can open conversations and move them to a discussion of spiritual things without being offensive to people. And when I take the time to see myself in my mind's eye, in a prayerful spirit, communicating with the Lord about it, but I see myself talking about Jesus Christ, it makes it a little easier when the opportunity arises. And it happens oftentimes when I travel. You know, when you travel, you're forced to sit next to somebody in an airplane. And always it's on my mind. Is this somebody with whom I can begin a conversation, who will be open to a witness? Is this what God wants me to do? So I normally pray about it. Sometimes my mind's on my responsibilities that I have when I get to where I'm going. You know, have my nose in a book or my notes, because my vision at that moment is my teaching or preaching assignment. And that's not always bad. I mean, I better have something to say when I get there. That's what they're flying me there for. I mean, I'm supposed to say something when I get there. But I tell you, when my vision is my pivotal God-given role as Christ's witness, I'm usually praying that God will open the door to talk to someone, and I'm usually more alert to opportunities to introduce people to Christ. And I have those opportunities periodically, and I thank God for them. But it takes a vision. I will always sit there and read something unless I have a vision as to what God wants me to be and do in this world. And that's not only to know Jesus Christ and become more like Him, but to share Him with others. It needs to be our vision. Let's catch the vision for sharing the Lord Jesus with others. There's a fourth and final part of this vision I'd like to suggest to you tonight. And it's over in 1 John chapter 3. And those of you who are students of the Word already know what it's going to be when I say 1 John 3. It's the vision of seeing Him face to face. You ever picture what it would be like when you see the Lord Jesus? I mean, ever stop, close your eyes, and just think about what it would be like to stand in the presence of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John had that vision. It's in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know this, that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We're going to see Him as He is. What do you visualize when you see yourself standing before Jesus? Joy? Pleasure? Excitement? Delight? Embarrassment, remorse, shame. We as believers are destined to enter His presence. The kids just sang about it a moment ago. Up to the city of God, up to the city of Zion. See it in your mind's eye. Being caught up with the Lord Jesus, standing there in His presence in heaven's glory. Make it a part of your vision. You know, it'll change your life. Visualize yourself looking forward to seeing somebody you dearly love after a long absence. I was only away for 5 days this week, and I couldn't wait to get home and see Mary. I visualized seeing her as I walked down the airport, whatever you call that thing that goes out to the gates, you know. And I got near the detector where the other people can't come through unless they have a ticket, and there she was, you know, just as I had visualized her. When I visualize seeing her after I've been away, I want to be at my best. That's what I think about, because I love her. And that's the kind of effect our anticipation of Christ's return will have on us when it's part of our vision. You see what it says in verse 3? And everyone who has this hope in him, who has this vision, everyone who has this vision purifies himself, even as he is pure. You see, when you have as part of your vision, seeing Jesus face to face, you aren't going to be spoiling your mind and soiling your body with impure thoughts and impure actions. When you think about entering his presence and standing before him, you keep yourself pure. We're going to be living in fellowship with him and letting him express his life through us when we have this vision, you see. We're going to let him take control of our lives and reproduce his purity and his love through us. We're going to do what John suggested back in chapter 2 and verse 28 when he said, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." That's the way I want to stand before Jesus. Unashamed. Some things in my past I'm ashamed of. But from this point on, I don't want there to be anything in my life that I will be ashamed of when I meet my Savior. I want to have as part of my vision seeing him face to face and living in purity and devotion to him. Let's catch the vision tonight, shall we? The vision to know Christ better. The vision to become more like him. The vision to share him with others. And the vision to see him face to face. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what the young people have taught us in song tonight. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that there is something to live for that goes beyond the mundane things of this world. God, give us vision, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.